All right, let's dive in this time. We're tackling some pretty deep theological waters with Dr. Robert Peterson's Theology Proper, Session 17.
Right.
And it's all about, you know, really getting to grips with God's character, specifically his goodness and patience. And what really struck me right from the get-go with Peterson's approach is that he doesn't treat these attributes as some kind of abstract ideas, you know, just kind of floating around up there in theological la-la land.
Yeah.
He presents them as, like, vibrant, living aspects of who God is, impacting everything he does, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, it's not just head knowledge. It's about how these qualities actually play out in creation, in redemption, in our lives.
Yeah, and that's what makes this whole exploration so, I think, so engaging for the listener.
Right.
It's not just about, you know, defining terms. It's about understanding how these core attributes of God, his goodness, his patience, how they're demonstrated, how we see them in action. And then ultimately, what difference does that make to how we see God?
Yeah.
How we see the world around us.
Yeah.
You know, it's
absolutely
practical theology, right?
It is. It is. So let's start with goodness. Let's really unpack what Peterson's getting at here.
Okay.
It's not just about God being, like, you know, not bad.
Right, right.
It's way more active than that. It's like this radical generosity, this genuine care for the well-being of everything he's created. And it's not selective, right?
Okay.
This goodness extends to everyone, everything.
Yeah, it's across the board. And the source really, I think, backs that up.
Right.
You think about James 1:17.
Yeah.
Every good and perfect gift is from above.
Mm-hmm.
That suggests to me like a constant flow of generosity from God. And then you've got, you know, Jesus himself, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:45.
Yeah, yeah.
He points out that God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous.
Yeah. So it's not about, like, earning God's favor to get some sunshine.
Right. No, not at all. It's this inherent goodness that just flows out from who he is.
Yeah. Peterson uses some really great imagery to help us wrap our minds around this.
Right.
He talks about, you know, God is a parent.
Yeah.
And he draws on Psalm 145, verses 15 through 19.
Okay.
Which, you know, talks about God providing food for all, satisfying every living thing's desires.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of how Jesus in Matthew 6 encourages us to, like, really trust God for our daily needs.
Right.
Like, look at the birds, look at the lilies. Okay. If God takes care of them, he's definitely going to take care of you.
Yeah, there's that sense of security there.
Yeah.
That we can derive from that image of God as a parent, as a provider.
Yeah. And it's not just about, you know, meeting those bare minimum needs.
Right.
It's that deeper sense of care.
Yeah, like a loving parent
who
anticipates
what
their children need even before they even ask.
Right. Yeah. And then Peterson brings in this other image, the shepherd.
Oh, yeah.
Referencing, of course, Psalm 23. I mean, it's such a well-known psalm. But
it is.
The way he focuses on the shepherd's role, actively providing, guiding the sheep to safety and nourishment, it really emphasizes that sense of being cared for.
Yeah, that no lack that we see in the opening verses of Psalm 23.
Yeah. And it's not just about us, right? It's not just about humanity. So in 145, verses 15 and 16, they specifically mention God providing food for the animals, too.
That's a great point. It broadens the scope, doesn't it?
It does. It's like, wow, this goodness, it's everywhere. It's cosmic.
It really is woven into the fabric of creation itself.
Yeah. And then Peterson, he draws this really stark contrast between, you know, this enduring divine goodness and our own often very fleeting human attempts at goodness.
Mm-hmm.
He quotes Isaiah 40, verses 6 and 7.
Okay.
All humanity is grass, and all its goodness is like the flower of the field. It withers.
Yeah. It puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
It really does. It's like, okay, our goodness, it's fragile, it's temporary.
It's conditional.
Yeah.
It's based on circumstances.
Yeah.
God's goodness is inherent. It's unchanging.
Right, right. It's just who he is.
It's who he is.
And speaking of creation, Peterson brings in Genesis 1:31.
Right.
God saw all that he had made, and it was very good.
Oh.
And he really emphasizes that very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this initial act of creation itself was an expression of God's goodness.
Yeah, it's like the foundation upon which everything else is built.
Yeah, it's like setting the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's this great anecdote in Acts 14.
Okay.
It's about Paul and Barnabas in Lystra.
Yeah.
And, you know, they heal this guy and the people there, they totally misinterpret what's going on.
Yeah.
And they want to start offering them sacrifices as gods. And
yeah.
I was like, whoa, 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 hold on.
Yeah.
He redirects their worship to the good creator who provides rain, fruitful seasons, food, joy.
It's so practical.
It is. Peterson calls this general revelation.
Right? Okay.
It's this idea that God reveals himself through creation, through yeah. common human experience. It's available to everyone, whether you, you know, have the Bible or not.
Yeah, and I think what's so powerful about that story is that Paul and Barnabas didn't point to some, you know,
right.
distant, unknowable deity. They yeah. pointed to the God who's active, who's present.
Right.
In those everyday things,
yeah.
in the rain, in
yeah.
the harvest,
yeah.
in the simple joys of food and fellowship.
Yeah. But then redemption takes this whole idea of God's goodness to another level, right?
Absolutely.
Peterson quotes Jeremiah 31.14, "My people will be satisfied with my goodness." Mm-hmm. And Psalm 34.8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good."
Yeah. It's like an invitation, isn't it?
It is. It's a personal invitation. It's like, come and experience this goodness for yourself.
Yeah, it's not just theoretical.
Right.
It's something you can actually encounter.
It's experiential.
Yeah.
And this isn't just a one-time rescue mission, you know?
No, not at all.
Like, okay, you're saved. See you later.
Right, right.
Psalm 23.6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life."
Mm-hmm.
And Peterson really breaks this down.
Yeah.
He points out how the imagery in Psalm 23, it kind of shifts,
okay.
you know, from shepherd to host in verse 5.
Uh-huh.
It goes beyond basic provision
uh-huh.
to this image of abundant hospitality.
Yeah.
A table overflowing with blessings, even when you're surrounded by enemies.
It speaks to a deepening of that relationship, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not just being guided and cared for.
Right.
It's being welcomed.
Yes, yes.
Into this intimate
right.
fellowship.
Yeah. And then that promise of dwelling in God's house forever, which, you know, connects so beautifully with the New Testament idea of eternal life being in God's presence.
Yeah, it's a beautiful progression.
It is.
From provision to presence.
Yeah. And there's this future aspect to God's goodness, too, right?
Right.
Psalm 31.19 talks about how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you.
It's like an inheritance waiting to be claimed.
Yeah, yes. Like there's even more to come.
Yeah, it's not a one and done kind of deal.
No, no. Peterson then highlights how the New Testament just explodes this idea of God's goodness.
It really brings it into full bloom.
Yeah.
You know, we see that in Titus 3.45.
Yeah.
Where it talks about the kindness and love of God are Savior appearing and saving us.
Yeah.
And then 2 Peter 1.3,
yeah.
God has given us everything we need for life and godliness through his glory and goodness.
Yeah. It's like the arrival of Christ just kind of takes the volume up on this whole concept of God's goodness.
The game changer.
Yeah, it is. So given all of this, how are we supposed to respond?
Right.
Peterson points to praise, 2 Chronicles 7.3,
mm-hmm.
and trust,
yeah.
even when things are really tough.
Yeah, even in the midst of suffering.
Yeah. He actually shares the story about a math PhD student.
Oh, wow.
Who's really wrestling with Romans 8.28.
Okay.
You know, that all things work together for good for those who love God.
Mm-hmm.
And the student comes to this realization that even when things seem completely senseless,
right.
God's still working. He's yeah. still orchestrating things for our good.
It's a hard truth to grasp sometimes.
It is.
But it's so essential.
It is. It's a total perspective shift.
Mm-hmm.
And then Peterson brings us back to that comforting passage in Matthew 6.2534.
Right.
You know, about not worrying,
yeah.
trusting God for our needs, seeking yeah. his kingdom first.
Right.
It's like the practical outworking.
Yeah, it's putting it into practice.
Yeah.
Trusting in his goodness.
Yeah. And then finally on God's goodness.
Okay.
Peterson emphasizes how we should actually reflect this goodness in our own lives.
Right, right.
By loving our enemies, praying for them.
Wow.
Just like Jesus tells us to in Matthew 5.4, 3, 4, 5. It is. It's a radical call to live out this expansive, you know, all-encompassing goodness that we've been talking about.
Yeah, it's a reflection of God's own heart.
Yeah, yeah. And all of this ties into the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5.22223.
Right.
Goodness is right there on the list.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is what the Holy Spirit produces in us. It's not just about believing the right things. It's about becoming more like Christ.
It's about transformation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, so that was a pretty deep dive into God's goodness.
It was.
But Peterson doesn't stop there.
No way.
He moves on to another really crucial attribute, God's patience.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's called long-suffering or forbearance.
Yeah, it's not always the most glamorous attribute.
It's not, right. And I think in our, like, fast-paced, instant gratification world,
yeah,
it's easy to maybe not fully appreciate it.
We want everything now.
Yeah.
We don't like waiting.
Right, exactly.
But God, he's got a different timetable. And his patience is, I think, one of the most beautiful expressions of his love.
Yeah. So how does Peterson define it?
He describes it as God's slowness to anger.
Okay.
And his deliberate choice not to punish sin immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's this divine restraint, this holding back of what might be, you know, justly deserved.
Yeah. Yeah. And Peterson points to some key passages where God reveals this patience. Exodus 34:6 is like front and center.
Oh, that's a foundational one.
It is, right.
Yeah. The Lord, a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love and truth. It's like God's introducing himself and saying, this is who I am.
Yeah. It sets the tone for the whole Old Testament.
It really does.
Yeah. And then you see that phrase, low to anger, popping up again and again.
Yeah, it becomes a refrain in the Psalms.
Psalm 103:8, Psalm 145:8. It's like a core characteristic of God that's being emphasized.
It's not just a one-off story.
Oh, no, it's woven throughout.
It's part of his very nature.
Yeah. Even David, you know, when he's feeling vulnerable under attack, he cries out to God in Psalm 86:15.
Yeah.
And he addresses God as compassionate, gracious, slow to anger.
Yeah, it's like he's clinging.
He is.
To that knowledge.
He is. It's his anchor.
God's character.
Yeah. Peterson then uses this beautiful parable.
Okay.
The parable of the lost sheep in Matthew 18.
Yeah.
To illustrate God's patient pursuit of even the one who's wandered away.
It's not about giving up on them.
No.
It's about seeking until they're found.
Yeah. He's not just sitting back waiting for them to maybe come crawling back.
No, he's actively pursuing.
Yeah.
Relentlessly.
Yeah. And then Peterson takes us on this tour through Old Testament history.
Oh, yeah.
To really show God's patience in action. Like, think about Noah.
Right.
God waits patiently while the ark is being built.
Years and years.
Years, right. As the world is just, like, spiraling into wickedness. That's a long time to wait.
It is.
And then, you know, the Israelites in the desert after the Exodus, they're constantly rebelling.
Oh, and constantly testing God's patience.
They were pushing it.
They were. And Moses, he steps in, pleads with God in Numbers 14:18.
Mm-hmm.
Not just asking for mercy.
Right.
But reminding God of his own self-proclaimed character.
Right. Like, hey, you said you were slow to anger.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hold on. This isn't how you said you'd act.
He's holding God to his word.
Yeah, it's amazing. But Peterson also points to Isaiah's warning against testing God's patience too far.
Right. There's a limit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in Isaiah 7:23.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, God is patient.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we can just take advantage of his grace.
Right. We can't presume on it.
No, no. Even the Levites in Nehemiah 9:30, they look back at Israel's history and they acknowledge God's patience with them for years.
Years and years.
Years, despite all their disobedience. It's like a recurring theme, God holding back his judgment.
It's a testament to his character.
It is, yeah. Then Peterson makes this really crucial connection.
Okay.
Between God's patience and salvation.
He brings up Romans 2:4, where Paul warns against despising God's kindness, tolerance, and patience, because those things are meant to lead us to repentance.
They're not just random acts of kindness. They have a purpose.
Yeah.
And that purpose is to draw us to himself.
Yeah, to give us space to turn back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And even Christ's sacrifice, Peterson presents that as an ultimate demonstration of God's patience.
Wow, how so?
Well, Romans 3:25 talks about how God passed over sins committed in the Old Testament before the full atonement of Christ. It's like God was patiently waiting for the perfect solution to the problem of sin.
It shows a consistency, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Throughout history.
Yeah. And then Peterson digs into Romans 9:22-23.
Okay.
It's a passage that talks about how God endures with much patience those who are objects of wrath so that he can make his glorious riches known to those who are objects of his mercy.
Yeah, it's about giving people time.
Yeah.
Time to respond to the gospel.
Yeah. It's like, whoa, this patience is cosmic in scope.
It really is. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. And you know what's interesting?
How's that?
Peterson points out that scripture actually ascribes patience to Christ himself.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Like in 1 Timothy 1.13, Paul thanks Jesus for entrusting him with ministry despite his past as a persecutor of the church.
That's a powerful example.
It is. And then in 1 Timothy 1.16, Paul highlights Christ's extraordinary patience as like a model for believers.
Well, so it's not just an attribute of the Father.
Right.
It's something that Jesus embodies as well.
Yeah. He lived it out
perfectly. Mm-hmm.
And the apostles, they even viewed the delay of Christ's return through the lens of God's patience.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, 2 Peter 3.15 tells us to regard the patience of our Lord as salvation.
It's like that seeming delay is actually an act of mercy.
Yeah, giving more people a chance to come to faith.
Yeah, and James 5.7.11,
right.
It urges patience as we wait for the Lord's return.
Yeah.
Uses that analogy of the farmer waiting for the rain.
Yeah, yeah.
And the examples of the prophets who endured suffering and Job's steadfastness.
Yeah. It's like, hang in there, guys. God's got this.
Yeah. Trust his timing.
Yeah. And just like goodness, patience is also listed as a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5.22. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians 13.4 and Romans 8.25, patience is right there as a defining characteristic of Christian love and hope.
Right. It's not optional.
No. It's essential.
It's part of the package.
Yeah. It's like these attributes, they're not just for us to admire from afar. They're for us to actually cultivate in our own lives.
Is it about becoming more like him?
Yeah. Yeah. And Peterson wraps up this whole discussion on patience with a really practical verse from James 1.19.
Okay. What's that?
Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is, right? It's like, okay, here's how to put God's patience into practice in your everyday life.
Yeah, it's doable. Yeah, it's doable.
It's not some lofty theological concept.
Yeah. No, it's for real life.
Right.
So as we kind of come to the end of this deep dive, I think key takeaways are pretty clear. God's goodness is this active, generous, overflowing love toward all creation.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
It is. And his patience is this incredible, almost unbelievable slowness to anger, this forbearance that gives us time to repent.
Yeah.
And it really reflects his deep, deep compassion.
And as Peterson so clearly shows us,
These
aren't just abstract theological concepts. Right. They have real world implications. Yeah. They shape how we see God.
Yeah.
They shape how we see the world. Yeah. They shape how we live our lives.
So for you listening, I want to leave you with this.
Yeah.
How might a deeper understanding of God's goodness and patience change the way you view current events or even just, you know, the everyday stuff you're going through?
Yeah.
And how might actually trying to embody these qualities yourself,
right,
being more generous, being more patient,
affect your relationships.
Right.
Maybe even bring you a greater sense of inner peace.
It's worth pondering.
It is. It really is. And maybe even go back and explore Dr. Peterson's work yourself.
Yeah. Good idea.
Dig even deeper. Thanks for joining me for this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Always good to chat.
Always good.
Until next time. See you then.